Annenberg Radio News.
My name is Sabrina Sandu, and I'm dressing up as a genie this year. My boyfriend, he always makes wishes, so I said I'll dress up like a genie and grant him a wish.
We ask people what they're dressing up for Halloween and what they're doing in LA. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for October 26, 2010. I'm Madeline Cinto. We all know part of LA's budget problems have been blamed on unions and their pensions. But today, the city council fought back. All 13 council members agreed to ask voters to cut retirement pay. A couple of clarifications, though. Only police and firefighter pensions would be reduced, and it would only apply to future employees. The city's budget carves out 18% for public safety and city worker pensions. The cost of those pensions are rising and is expected to take up one-third of the city's general fund by 2015. Angelenos will vote on the March 2011 ballot. If passed, it will affect new hires in July of next year. The council also tried to curb pensions for DWP employees. That department works separately from the rest of the city. Councilman Bernard Parks proposed the measure, but unions showed up in force today to oppose his plan. And after much hoo-ha, the measure was shut down. The city of Bell, which has gotten national attention for allegations of widespread corruption, took another blow today. The Los Angeles Times reported that one of Bell's former sergeants tried to alert Police Chief Randy Adams about voter fraud and improperly awarding building permits. I talked to Paul Pringle, who wrote today's story earlier this afternoon.
Well, he was at the time, he was the head of the Detective Bureau for the Bell Police Department. He had been there for, I think, 19 years as a full-time police officer. Before that, he served as a reserve. So this is his account that is supported by some of his colleagues. He took his concerns to Adams shortly after Adams arrived at the city, and he claimed that Adams basically put a stop to what the sergeant was looking into, and nothing happened for many months. And then later, the sergeant and others went back to the district attorney's office and try to get an investigation going.
Oh, okay. And then the sergeant, the lead sergeant on it, left.
He quit, yes, because he was at first demoted in his terms. He didn't lose his rank, but he was shifted to street patrol from the more prestigious detective bureau. And then he was threatened with discipline for insubordination because, as he admits, he used profanity to refer to a superior officer in the presence of junior officers, which he acknowledges is against the rules, but he doesn't think it was something serious enough to cost him his job or severe punishment. He thinks he was also going to be held accountable for making similar comments about other police administrators and Robert Rizzo, which he didn't deny. But again, he felt he was being singled out because he was complaining about corruption in the city and that he was going to be fired. And that's why he says he retired and then brought this whistleblower lawsuit.
District Attorney Steve Cooley is running for Attorney General. He's the local favorite, running against San Francisco's District Attorney Kamala Harris. He held a news conference today in downtown with local law enforcement and victim rights groups. Marilyn Medawar reports.
The dueling campaigns of Republican Steve Cooley and Democrat Kamala Harris took center stage today at the Roy Ball Federal Building and Courthouse in downtown Los Angeles. Steve Remage, the president of the Association for Los Angeles Deputy Sheriffs, endorses Steve Cooley because he helped capture a criminal that killed one of his officers. 33-year-old David March was killed while patrolling traffic. His attacker then fled to Mexico. Here's Remage speaking at the news conference.
The resources that he allocated from the district attorney's office bring the killer of one of my deputy sheriffs back here to the United States, and he is currently serving his just punishment in prison. That kind of dedication, that kind of commitment is why my organization is endorsing Steve Cooley.
Cooley says he's been tough on crime. His office has employed new DNA techniques to identify murderers. Cooley also supports organizations that work with victims' families. Cooley says he's proud to have the support of law enforcement and the victim rights groups.
it looks like in this campaign. I've swept the victims' rights community. I don't know of any support that my opponent has gotten. I've swept the law enforcement organizational endorsements. My opponent has no support among law enforcement, effectively. I'm very, very proud of that.
Debbie Meslow, the spokesperson for Kamala Harris's campaign, says Harris also has solid support from law enforcement.
She has some of the largest names in law enforcement supporting her, such as the former chief of Los Angeles, Bill Bratton. She also has the chief of San Francisco, George Gascon, as well as the chief of East Palo Alto and the chief of Oakland.
Harris's campaign says she has the support from those police officials because she has a plan to fix California's criminal justice system.
Kamala Harris has talked a lot about reforming the revolving door of prison. Unfortunately, her opponent, Steve Cooley, would just protect the status quo. He's given no suggestions on what he would do to break our revolving door of prison and to actually reform the criminal justice system.
Election day is on November 2nd. Heading into the final stretch, polls show Steve Cooley with a slight lead. Marilyn Medawar, Annenberg Radio News.
California voters have a week to decide how to vote on the 9 propositions on this November's ballot. You've heard about the propositions on Annenberg Radio News, and you can hear about them again on our website, annenbergradio.org. Today we have some updates on Proposition 19 and 26. Plus, later on, we'll hear from a supporter of the redistricting initiative, Proposition 27. A recent poll by the LA Times and USC shows 51% of California voters oppose legalizing marijuana. So the Yes on Prop 19 campaign says they're stepping up their efforts. Jessica Flores reports how.
You may have heard a lot about the proposition to legalize marijuana, Prop 19, but you may not have seen a lot of television ads for and against it. That's because campaigns on both sides of debate have had little capital compared to other campaigns this election cycle, so they focused on reaching voters online. But now the campaign for legalizing marijuana just got a monetary push from investor George Soros. He donated $1 million to the Drug Policy Alliance. Stephen Gutwillig is one of the alliance's spokespersons. He declined to give details about the donation. He did say they plan on using the money for voter mobilization and public education. It's a little late in the game to film and televise TV ads. So far, there's only one ad for pro-legalization of marijuana. It's done by the Yes on 19 campaign. Tom Engel is a spokesperson for Yes on 19. He says the ad originally played in Los Angeles, but they recently expanded to Bakersfield, Fresno, and Chico. They also purchased a predicted dialer. That's a gadget that calls about 5 people at once, and when someone picks up the phone, it connects to a volunteer. The so-called grassroots campaign will be focusing more on communication through Facebook and blogs. They also signed up hundreds of volunteers to man the phones, so expect a call this week. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
If Prop 26 passes in November, the definition of what constitutes a tax would expand. On the state level, it requires a 2/3 vote of the legislature to raise taxes. And on the local level, voters can approve it with a simple majority. Prop 26 advocates say state and local officials slap on, quote, fees for services to avoid the political impasse that would come with raising taxes. Matt Klink, spokesman for Prop 26, says in the process, politicians keep raising money off the back of Californians.
They even have things called crash taxes now, where if you unfortunately get in an accident in a city where your car is not registered, they charge you extra because you got in an accident in that city.
Opponents to the measure say California already suffers from severe funding issues. The state needs the money to provide its services. They also say Prop 26 is just another way for big oil companies like Chevron to keep their cash. Tonight will be clear and nice, with temperatures in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, things will heat up to about 82 degrees and expect it to be partly cloudy. Thursday will be exactly the same as Wednesday. Some clouds with temperatures in the low 80s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we lament the beloved Octopus Paul, who predicted the winning teams throughout the World Cup. Next Tuesday is Election Day, and there are still a lot of propositions out there to talk about, two of them being 20 and 27. They both relate to redistricting. Prop 20 would give an independent commission the power to draw up congressional districts. Three randomly selected accountants and 14 other officials chosen by these accountants would head the commission. California voters already approved this same commission to make boundaries for their assembly and Senate districts back in 2008 when they passed Prop 11. The Prop 11 commission will extend to also cover congressional districts if Prop 20 passes. Supporters of this independent commission say it will stop gerrymandering, a practice that makes a district either heavily Democrat or Republican. Gerrymandering often breaks up communities and takes away from political competition. Opponents of Prop 20 don't trust this independent commission, calling it a bureaucratic mess. They want the state legislature to draw up all district lines, including assembly, Senate, and congressional boundaries. And Prop 27 would do just that, returning all district drawing power to state representatives. I spoke with Daniel Lowenstein, founding chair of the California Fair Political Practices Commission, earlier today. He explained why he supports Prop 27 and dislikes the idea of an independent commission.
In the case of the commission, it will be anonymous people. Nobody knows who they'll be controlled by. They probably won't really have much understanding of what they're doing anyway, so that the actual decisions will probably be made by the staff. But there's no reason to think that they're going to be any more virtuous than anybody else.
The main reason for this independent commission is to prevent gerrymandering and kind of lessen that problem, which is really bad in California. So I was just kind of wondering what your response to that is.
Well, it won't prevent gerrymandering because redistricting is inherently political, no matter how it's done and no matter who does it. The difference is who should do it. The question is whether this arcane process of redistricting should be done by completely anonymous bureaucrats who are appointed through a bizarre system that very few people can understand and no ordinary citizens have control over, or whether it should be done by elected officials who can be held accountable for what they do by the voters.
What kind of things does it have that creates more accountability?
It requires much more strict population equality in districts. I think almost everybody agrees that that's a good thing. Under Proposition 20, the commission would be mandated to separate low-income voters from high-income voters. That's an utterly novel and, I think, to most people, obnoxious requirement. So there really are safeguards under Proposition 27 that don't exist either under current law, and these things would be made even worse under Proposition 20.
And what's the advantage of having districts be 10% larger in California? Like, whose political advantage does that work towards?
I'm an academic, and I'm not concerned in the short run whether it favors Democrats or Republicans or farmers or city people or liberals or conservatives. You know, in the short run, it can help or hurt any or all of those. That's not the point. There's a basic principle that each voter, each citizen should have equal weight compared to other citizens. I think just about all Americans agree with that.
Thank you very much for joining us. And that was Daniel Lowenstein, founding chairman of California Fair Political Practices Commission and law professor at UCLA. Thank you.
Thank you.
Virginia Trujillo used to teach English at an adult education school. Then the school's budget got tight and she was let go. Since then, she's found a different classroom in an unlikely setting. Stephanie Guzman reports from her class.
If you go to any Home Depot, you can always find help. And I'm not talking about inside the store. Outside, there can be 100 workers waving customers down for a job, any job. Near MacArthur Park, the workers at this Home Depot are learning English. In the parking lot, they sit under a simple concrete awning attached to a day laborer center called Garrison.
Yeah, what's your favorite food, Hector? What's your favorite food?
My favorite food is seafood.
The center pairs contractors with workers on a first-come, first-served basis and makes sure the workers get paid. The problem is, construction is slow and no one is hiring. While the men wait for their name to be called from a long list, they pass the time in Virginian Trujillo's class.
Crab, lobster.
Trujillo has worked at the center for 6 years. Her class is always changing. The men come and go, and newer immigrants arrive. So she focuses on the basics.
What's your favorite food?
I think some people are amazed when they hear that I'm teaching here, because it is a difficult place to teach.
And dangerous. Her student Alex has lived in the area for 22 years.
I remember when I first came here, MacArthur Park was a very beautiful place to visit. Now, I don't think so, because it's too many people around, too many gangs members around, a lot of drugs around, you know.
Trujillo, she feels the neighborhood and the center are her home.
I feel like I know them, I know the people, I know where they're from, I know their situations, at least I try to learn. I sometimes wish it was quieter because it's very noisy. That's one of our big distractors here, is the outside noise.
Gilbert, what's your favorite food? What? I'm sorry, what? Steak.
Noise, yes, and there are other challenges too. Trujillo doesn't speak fluent Spanish, she doesn't know the native language of the Guatemalan workers, and she's a white woman.
The really weird part is I live in Beverly Hills.
She may live among the rich and famous, but here, she's treated like royalty.
You know, really, the men treat me with the utmost respect. They treat me really like a queen, to be honest. It's wonderful, really. I wish I were treated that well by the rest of the world.
Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
The octopus, who correctly predicted that Spain would beat Germany at this year's World Cup, has died. Paul the octopus died today in the western German city of Oberhausen. Last June, Paul stunned fans when he predicted the winners of 8 World Cup matches. He died in his tank at 2.5 years old. There's always something to do for Halloween in Los Angeles, and this weekend won't be an exception. Whether you're heading into the madness of West Hollywood or hitting up a downtown rave, here's what a couple of Angelinos are doing this Halloween and what they're dressing up as.
I'm Stephanie Ashley. I'm a sophomore. I'm either going as a devil or Supergirl. They both involve a red dress, so.
I'm Meredith Reed. I'm a sophomore, and I'm going to go to Vegas with my roommates and my sister. The thing is, I actually have a midterm on the 1st, so I need to be back in LA and studying on Halloween.
I'm Nikki, and I am planning on going to Hard on Saturday. There's a couple parties on Friday and Sunday that I'm probably going to check out and maybe dress up for that. I think I'm going to be Totoro. In high school, I was Sully from Monsters, Inc., and I was Clifford the Big Red Dog. And my friend was a jellyfish, so she had a clear umbrella, and then she had like sparkly tentacles coming off of the umbrella, and she dressed in all white.
I'm Robert. I'm a senior.
What are your ideas for a costume?
An Abercrombie model reject kind of thing. You get the puff jacket, one of those hairdos from the Jersey Shore, sunglasses, and the abs.
My name is Jocelyn, and I'm a junior this year. And for Halloween, I'm actually probably just going to stay in and bake pumpkin cupcakes with my friends.
My name is Sean Brightly. I do the audio for all of USC. And I'm going to be probably trick-or-treating with my children. I heard that a lot of people are going to be snooky this year. Halloween is one of my favorite holidays. I like it because, you know, the girls dress really nice.
So now we check in with Stephanie McNeil to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News tonight at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. But first, give us an update on the school bus crash from yesterday.
Hi, yes. As you know, a driver crashed into a bus full of students yesterday and killing one pedestrian. Today, the mayor went to that school, talked to the students at an assembly, and rode a bus with them. We're going to have more on that story tonight and on the safety precautions that now may be taken to prevent horrible crashes like that in the future. Tonight, we will also continue our Election 10 series on...
Oh, we look forward to that tomorrow night. Thanks so much. Oh, that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Esther Kong, Ryan Nunez, and Shelley Hsu. Stephanie Guzman is our producer. Jessica Flores is the executive producer. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Madeline Cinto. Check out our website, annenbergradio.org.